The right man with the right voice at the right time.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on time.
James T. Harris is on 104.1 The Truth. Right talk for Tucson.
Good afternoon, Tucson. I am the beautiful man. Standing right across from me is my sexy sidekick, Ross. Take your telephone calls at 751-1041. Stacy in a tutu on a high wire. Yes, my friends, this is a celebration.
The celebration!
Celebration of your relationship with conservative talk radio. Brought to you by 104.1 The Truth. Right talk for Tucson. Senator Jeff Flake is in the building, and he will be joining us shortly, my friends. I got a lot of text, a lot of tweets, and people trying to call me about this story with Davis Mountain Air Force Base and with the news about the A-10. And again, I am the only reason why we're going forward with this is because we crossed our T's, we dotted our I's, and this is what we are hearing. We've gone from this being scaling back, downsizing the A-10 community to completely eliminating it is what I am hearing. And is I'm being told that that's what the decision was that came out of the POMs, the Program Objective Memorandums, last week, or I should say last weekend. There's lots of movement shaking. Of course, we are under sequestration as we are just trying to count our dimes and our nickels to figure out where we are going. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get the senator who just walked into the circus all set up. Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Welcome back. We saw you last. We saw you when you were running for the Senate.
That seems like a long time ago.
It does. And a lot has transpired since. I want to thank you for coming in this afternoon. But now we're going to have to start some kung fu fighting up in here, okay? I just broke a story right before you came in. The Air Force is in the process of developing their program objective memorandums, POMs, for the upcoming fiscal years. And the POM includes decisions as to what defense programs live or die. And the word is that with the A-10 community is that the decision is to phase that out. There's also rumors that there's going to be the F-35 or other fighter jet in, but we also know that that won't be coming down here. If it comes at all, it'll probably be at a different Air Force base. And, the A-10 community is, that wing here, the Davis-Monthan is integral to the development of this city. Were you aware of this POS?
Not aware of this POS, but we've known for a while that, I mean, the F-35, that new platform, is supposed to replace basically what we have. And so I think this is no surprise that the direction they're headed. I think we knew that was, at some point we're going to move away from the A-10.
So we knew that, I think we knew that they were downsizing, or I should say, like, limiting it, but was it supposed to be a complete elimination?
Eventually, yes. And so I don't know if they've changed the timetable or they're moving more quickly now. They've had issues with the F-35, obviously, delays and cost shifts and everything else. But we knew at some point that it would be phased out. I just have to look at the timing of this. I'm not sure.
What you're saying, 2015 is when this is supposed to when it's supposed to happen by, and whatever they're replacing, is it something that's going to give our troops on the ground the same protection that the A-10? Is providing for them now?
Well, supposedly the F-35 does that and more, but what cost? Some people are questioning.
That's what people are questioning. Yeah. At what cost? And is it? If it is to replace the A-10, will we have it ready to go before the A-10 is phased out?
Well, obviously the Air Force isn't going to do anything that's going to put us in jeopardy and leave gaps in our readiness. So. We'll be looking at that along with other decisions. But I think Davis-Monthan is well placed to do a number of things, and certainly as a home to the F-35, there was hope that decisions would have been made. Bringing it here more quickly, but
right.
It's still possible.
Because you said it's still possible, because last time I was hearing that it was doubtful that we would get it. And partly due to our city leadership not being high on it.
Well, there is an issue there. There are a number of groups who have gone to Washington and certainly around the military community to make sure that people know that Tucson supports its military. And they do, and that's certainly the word that I'm spreading in Washington, because that's what I see. I see just a limited number of individuals, small group of people who aren't as enthusiastic about the mission of DM as I am, and certainly people here are.
Well, if we get another opportunity, and I'm sure we will, talk about this, because the information that we're getting here is kind of hitting the ATIN community, the military community, hard. I'm not under the impression that they were expecting this phase down. It sounds to me that they're pretty shocked and upset about it. So as this rolls out, and I'm sure there'll probably be more news coming out on this by this weekend, we'll be able to talk about this again.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't seen that release, so we'll take a look at it.
Thank you so much for coming in here today. I know we're going to talk about immigration, but I got to start out with, and people have been sending me questions. A lot of the questions that were sent to me were better than the questions that I prepared, so I'm going to kind of interweave some of the audience questions in this. I want to start out with this. I know it's about the border, and that's the hot issue right now, but I'm more concerned with perception, Senator Flake. And the National Review had an article that came out in June, and it said that Arizona Senator Jeff Flake saw some of his old colleagues at the House gym who asked him, well, who are you spending time with now in the Senate? And they thought that, this is a direct quote from you, they thought that they would say Pat Toomey or Tim Scott, Flake told reporters at a breakfast hosted at the Christian Science Monitor this morning. The article says you said you're hanging out with Chuck Schumer, Dick Durbin, and Mike Bennett. Not what I expected, but it's been a great process, and I hope it continues to spread to other areas, particularly the budget, because we're going to reach a bipartisan agreement. We have to reach a bipartisan agreement on the budget. Chuck Schumer?
Well,
Dick Durbin, and Mike Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
What's your colleagues and the your old Congress colleagues, what did they say about your new choice of your friendships?
No, well, I was pointing out the very real thing that we were negotiating an immigration package night after night after night, and that's who I didn't expect to be spending time with. But I can tell you, if people haven't noticed, we have divided government. We have a president in one party, the Senate shares that party, and Republicans control the House. Anybody who thinks that we can sit around with only Republicans and negotiate any legislation that's going to pass is wrong. It's just you can't do that. It would work if we were in control of the White House, but we're not.
Well, that begs the question. Why do we have to deal with this legislation right now? What is so hot and heavy about the immigration issue that we are being forced to compromise, and many would say compromise in ways that are not pleasing to the Republican base?
I would argue that we're not compromising things that are important to us. Important to us is getting control of the border. We have in this legislation an effort that's never been made before. We're talking about doubling the number of border agents. We're talking about having 700 miles of fence. We're talking about spending billions of dollars, which people have said we need to do on the border. That is in this legislation.
But these are proposals that were in previous legislation. We were supposed to have 700 miles of fence built the last time we were talking about immigration, and it never happened.
That's precisely it, because we couldn't get it through. We couldn't get it through. I offered legislation to border legislation as well as other legislation on immigration in 2005, 2006. We could never get it through. We need legislation that can be signed into law. And in order to do that, you've got to work with the other side as well. You can't simply sit around and say, we're only going to deal with Republicans. I wish that were the case. I wish we were in charge of the White House as well. But I can tell you, this legislation, in terms of border security, we have, in terms of manpower and infrastructure, and technology on the border that we've never had before.
We've heard this. We were talking about drones. You're talking about the fence. You're talking about 20,000 extra border security. Where's all the money for this coming from? And but more importantly, you just said that we have to have this in law. Why should anyone have any confidence that even if it is in law, that it will be carried out? I mean, we see a president right now who is doesn't have the power to grant amnesty, but then he grants deferred action. Was he wrong originally, or was he wrong when he just did the deferred action?
Let me address the first one. In terms of why we need legislation to actually get, you know, troops on, or not troops on the border, more infrastructure.
Hey, I wouldn't mind troops on the border, actually. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But we had, in 1986, there was an amnesty then, and we were promised, hey, we'll get some more, you know, border security will come as a result of this. It didn't. One of the biggest reasons it didn't is we didn't have a guest worker plan attached to that legislation that would allow us to protect our labor needs. And so since we didn't have it, the federal government just turned a blind eye to the border, and people came, and we have the situation that we have today. But we can't let that happen again, and that's why we have in this legislation a good guest worker plan as well. In terms of trusting the administration, there's very little trust with the Department of Homeland Security right now.
Correct.
Because you can't even get a good metric in terms of apprehensions or anything else. And so what we did is we went to the border sector chiefs and said, what do you need to hit a level of 90% effectiveness on the border? What technology do you need? What manpower do you need? What barriers, fencing do you need? And they told us. They gave us a punch list. And we said, you've got it. And then in this legislation, so we say, here's this punch list. All of this has to be put in place before anybody who is here illegally can adjust their status, because that's what the Democrats are pushing for, adjustment of status for those who are here illegally. So you have to have 700 miles of fencing. You have to hire a certain number of agents. You have to reach certain levels of efficiency, or a border commission kicks in. These things have to happen before anybody can adjust their status. And somebody may say, well, you know, you can't trust the administration. This administration won't be in office when any of this occurs. This is three years from now. Barack Obama will not be the president. We may have another Democrat in office. Somebody may say, well, we won't be able to trust them. But if that were the standard, you would never pass any legislation, because it all requires
What you're arguing is that we move forward in trying to establish new laws when we have so many. Why don't we, instead of coming up with new legislation, why don't we just try to enforce the things that are already on the books? I mean, it's already on the books that the 700 miles of fence are supposed to be built. We're not anywhere near that. Instead of making up new laws and spending new money, why don't we just go back and take care of the things that were never taken care of when this originally was proposed?
Let me say, 42%, I think, was the latest figure, the best figure that we have, of people who are here illegally who didn't sneak across the border. You've got to deal with them. We don't have legislation or laws adequate right now to deal with them. We need an entry and exit system that works. We put it in this legislation to make sure that those who come here on a legal visa actually exit when they say they're going to. We don't have programs right now that treat our legal immigration system in a way we need to. For example, businesses here, Raytheon, IBM, Intel, anybody who is trying to access talent from around the world finds it difficult to get people here to stay legally.
That is something that could be easily addressed as far as the talent issue. The real problem that we're facing here,
but that's part of
are the people
reform.
Swimming across. Well, I think that's sort of that's what is being used to push the Dream Act. That's what's being used to push amnesty for illegal immigrants. But that is not what the heart of it is. A serious problem that can be addressed in a different way. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Senator Jeff Flake in the studio, and we're going to if you can hang over. Yes, we have some more questions that we need to ask. You're listening to 104.1 The Truth, Right Talk for Tucson. We are in studio with Senator Jeff Flake, who is visiting Tucson. I want to go back to DHS, to the new laws that are being made, and ask you this question. How can we trust the DHS and the administration, given the Dream 9 amnesty asylum debacle last week? Of course, you know, illegals leave the country, making them exempt from a deferred action, then claim asylum fears to return to the country they've already voluntarily went to. And DHS granted asylum. It seems to many people out there watching this whole thing is that this is already a foregone conclusion, Senator. It seems to a lot of people out there that what's going on right now is you're going on the immigration acceptance tour. It's already been handed down from on high that this is what's going to happen. We have John McCain. We have the Gang of Eight, in which you were part of. Right. And we have Captain America, Paul Ryan, who's laid down his shield over in House. And we're all working towards comprehensive immigration when many people who are part of the party, who are part of the base, are saying, hold it, time out. This is not what we want. Why must we move forward with this when we're seeing things like the Dream 9 amnesty games going on?
Well, I'm not too familiar. I was out of the country last week and just barely heard today of the South Africa and Argentina.
Is that why you got the tan?
That must be.
That's a South African tan I'm seeing there. All right.
But I'm not too familiar with this nine situation, but I can tell you that when you're going back to what you're talking about, why move a big piece of legislation like this? Why not deal with, you know, one issue and then another? We have divided government. You have to pass legislation. We can't get, and you're asking, you know, to get this kind of equipment on the border, it costs a lot of money. It's paid for in this bill by the fees and fines paid for by those who are here illegally.
How are you going to collect fees and fines from people who are here illegally? We can't even get them.
No, if they want to adjust their status, if they want to be here legally, then they have to pay fees and fines.
What happens if there are many people here, and this is an argument that's going around, they don't want to be here legally. They just want to take advantage of the benefits of being here illegally and take advantage of the money that they can raise here and send back to their home. What happens to with that crowd?
If they want to be able to be employed, and they won't be able to make any money unless they're employed, they're going to have to come out of the shadows because we have mandatory e-verify.
This language that you were saying, come out of the shadows. Why are you talking to me like this is lefty talk, Senator?
No, it's not.
I know your history. I know that you have always been consistent on comprehensive immigration reform.
I've introduced legislation similar to this back in 2005, 2006. I think this is what we need for policy reasons. We need to get people out of the shadows, legally here.
You said that again.
Yeah.
How about this? How about if we were to concentrate and work hard on winning back the Senate, maintaining the House, then having two parties that the Republicans run, and then put together a bill to address the immigration issue without all of the spending, all of the money again for projects that I really truly believe will never be completed as long as we have an administration in place that doesn't want it completed. We are dealing with a president now that does not respect the rule of law, does not respect the Constitution, and we're talking about going through the same song and dance again, and the only end result will be 16 million people gaining what we call amnesty and setting it up to do all over again in the next 30 years.
Now, I think that in terms of waiting until we have the majorities in the House and the Senate and have the White House, I think if you delayed passing important legislation until that happens.
But this is not the most important thing.
I think it is important.
How about this?
Legislation.
How come we're not doing?
Tell somebody on the border who has had property crimes, crime issues.
We can address
tell
that.
Tell businesses here who don't have the tools now to determine whether somebody's here legally or not.
Arizona tried to address
mandatory
that.
Mandatory, you verify, but you can tell if the Social Security is valid, but not if it's being used by somebody else.
Arizona tried to address that because the government wasn't doing it, and we got sued for it.
In this legislation, we make that mandatory nationwide. Mandatory E-Verify nationwide. That's something the conservatives have been pushing for a long time. That's part of this legislation. So there are a lot of good things in this legislation. It's a compromise piece of legislation because we're not in control of all of government. That, unfortunately, is the way it works. You've got to work with the other side if you want to pass legislation.
I am throwing punches at you, and you are just dodging. I mean, you're taking the blows, and you're still standing. I'm trying to... I got another question I need to ask. Can I hold you over for just a few minutes on the other side? Just a few minutes? Thank you very much. I want to ask you about Obamacare. I want to ask you where you stand on that. Should we defund it?
Thank you.
And how come that is not the major issue right now? I think that is a more pressing issue to Americans right now than the immigration issue. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to squeeze Senator Jess Flake in for a few more minutes on the other side. We thank you for joining us. When can you come again? I'll talk to you. Yes, all right. My friends, you are listening to 104.1 The Truth. Right Talk for Tucson. Senator Jeff Flake in the studio. He has graciously agreed to stay over for a few more minutes. We were talking over the break. Again, that should have been recorded. And he said, did you really sour on Paul Ryan? I said, yes, I believe Captain America has put his shield down, and I'm afraid that he is riding the rhino. Let me bring up a very controversial issue. I coined a phrase down here, Ryanosaurus. And that is when people come into close contact with Senator John McCain, they lose their conservative values. Here's my question for you, sir. You ran as a conservative.
Right.
All right. Where are you on defunding Obamacare? Are you more aligned with Senator McCain and Senator Graham or Senator Lee and Senator Cruz?
I want to defund Obamacare. I want to repeal Obamacare. I didn't vote for Obamacare in the first place. I want to get rid of it in any way. But if you're asking me if Obamacare can be defunded through the CR, continuing resolution, no, it can't.
Can the IRS be defunded?
The IRS, not likely through the discretionary budget. You have to remember, there's most of our budget is on autopilot. It's not appropriated annually. That's the discretionary budget. About two-thirds of the budget is mandatory spending. Most of Obamacare is in mandatory spending. And so for those who are saying, let's use the CR, the continuing resolution, as a means to defund Obamacare, you just can't. I'd like to, but you can't.
So you're telling me that you're siding more with McCain and Graham than Lee and Cruz?
No. Well, Lee and Cruz believe that it's worthwhile to try to defund Obamacare with a CR. I don't think that's the case. I think that you give people hope that you're going to defund Obamacare, and you don't. If you want to know why Washington is held in such low regard, well, there's several reasons, but one of which is you tell people you're going to do something, and you don't.
So what's the plan to defund it? What's the plan to stop this before
Obamacare
these changes go in?
Obamacare is falling of its own weight.
True.
If anybody's noticed, that's the thing. They're postponing the employer mandate. They'll likely postpone the individual
mandate. Senator Reid said that this is going to pave the way for single payer.
Oh, certainly. That's what a lot of them think.
Well, what are you all doing to stop that?
We don't
want to hear about immigration. We want to hear about stopping Obamacare, sir.
I voted. I was in the House. During that time, I voted 36 times, I believe, to repeal Obamacare.
That was symbolically beautiful. How are we going to stop this?
That's exactly why the CR battle isn't the way to go, because it's just the funding isn't there. The taxing of Obamacare continues. Because this doesn't touch the taxing element. And so you give people hope that Obamacare would be defunded, and it's not.
You're telling me that this isn't the way to go about it.
No.
I'm asking you, how do we go about stopping this monstrosity that's just wreaking havoc on the American economy? How do we stop it, Senator Flake?
Well, there are other vehicles that you can use. You can put forward repeal legislation. You can repeal part of it. You can postpone part of it. It is the law of the land, and it's difficult to go in and do it. But you take every avenue, but the CR, I'm just telling you, for those who say that you can defund Obamacare with a CR, That's just not the case.
Okay.
And so you just don't do it.
That could very well be fine.
Right.
I want to hear from you and from the other Republican senators how this is going to be done. If that's not going to work, what will work? What I don't want to hear, this is the law of the land. Because the law of the land is being nullified every time the president changes it and moves it back without the Congress doing it. So how come we just can't say it's nullified and stop it?
One, there are parts of it that are increasingly unpopular. For example, the tax on medical devices. We passed legislation, the budget earlier on, and we had a vote in the Senate that said, get rid of the tax on medical devices. That's part of Obamacare. That's part of the funding for Obamacare. If you get rid of that, you've taken out part of Obamacare. You can do it with that and other methods, but you can't do it in the CR.
I know you have to go. I see you're giving me but I want to thank you very much for giving me the time. Next time you're in town, we have to do this again.
Hey, I'd love to. You have a great show.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Jeff Flake.